Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Best Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Chrissy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering something different. We're going to be covering the Star Wars movies. Sorry. We're not doing the whole theme song.
No, we're not. We could do a crawl. What do you think?
I'm going to try to do... So this is going to be very similar to our Jane Austen-a-thon. we're going to be talking about these in pro cons. We're going to be starting with Phantom Menace. We're going to go in chronological order.
Chronological as far as the Skywalker timeline. Yes. We have not yet decided whether we are including Solo or... Rogue One.
That's for after this prequel trilogy, though, yeah. So we don't have to worry about it. We also wanted to get Phantom Menace out of the way first, because I did ask why we would start with that when we could easily just do it in release order, and then Mom was like, don't you want to get it over with? And I was like, you're so right.
I am so right. In case you're wondering, we do have disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing, for sure. 100%. There will be spoilers for this movie and probably all Star Wars movies and the Star Wars universe. And I don't know that I'm going to mention any of the shows. I might, maybe, because Obi-Wan I really liked, or Kenobi, whatever they called it. And I love Ewan McGregor in that role. So
Andor was really good too.
Andor was really, really good, but that's only really ties into Rogue One and New Hope. So
it's true.
Whatever. So as far as spoilers go, that's probably as far as that extends. And we are having
so everywhere. If you have never seen a Star Wars movie or haven't even heard of them or anything like that, we will be spoiling them. Especially since we're starting with the prequels, we kind of have to. Because since we're starting with the prequels, we already know what happens in the sequels, and obviously the sequels coming after that, so...
Well, in the original trilogy, which is not the prequels. The prequels are released much later.
So, essentially, George Lucas did this weird thing where he started with episode 4.
Wait, let's talk about what we're having to drink first.
Okay.
We are having something to drink. I'm calling it the Midichlorian Buster. And it contains, it's actually a variation on a Natalie mocktail. So it has strawberry puree, it has ginger ale, and a touch of rum to bust the midichlorians. It also is red, like Darth Maul, and that makes me happy.
Yeah. So George Lucas did this weird thing where he was just like in the 70s. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to start with episode 4. And so he made Star Wars A New Hope. And
it was just called Star Wars then.
I'm aware of that, but we all know it as New Hope.
Many of us were there when the original came out. And to me, it's always Star Wars.
Okay, Star Wars was released. And then it was renamed A New Hope later. And then the sequel to that and the sequel to that... Basically, the original trilogy, which consists of New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, that was released and ended releasing in the 80s. And then many years later, the late 90s, early 2000s?
Early 2000s, because Nick was around then.
Okay, so it must have been like 2001.
I'm going to have to look it up.
I feel like... I remember the second one coming out, maybe 2002, maybe? I honestly don't know.
I'm looking.
Okay. So the prequels came out, and that consists of episodes 1 through 3 to give you context for episodes 4 through 6.
Phantom Menace was 1999.
That's what I thought. So we went back in time. We did prequels to give context to the original trilogy. And that consists of episode 1, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith. And then many years later in 2015, maybe? When did Force Awakens?
Force Awakens?
Is that 2015? 2017?
2015.
I was right. Fabulous. I was around for that.
Yes, you were around for sure.
And it was very exciting.
Were you alive? four.
Yeah, but I wasn't like fully aware. But then they came out with the sequel trilogy that follows the chronology. It's not a prequel, it is a full-on sequel to the original trilogy, which consists of The Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and Rise of Skywalker. So those are definitely the nine that we're going to cover. However, we might throw in a few of the side ones that they did, like Solo and Rogue One, which are mid-quels.
Right, so they would fall between the prequels and the original trilogy. And if we cover them, we will talk about them. If we don't cover them per se, we will probably mention them probably in the context of the original trilogy.
Yeah, I think that would make sense.
There are also 100,000 spin-off series.
We're not going to talk about
We're
all of
not
them.
going to talk about them. We are aware of them. If we spent all of our time in the Star Wars universe, much like if we spent all our time in the Marvel universe, like there's a reason we're not doing the Marvel universe, right? Probably ever.
Like,
Because,
how would we do that? That's
yeah, I
my
mean,
question.
it is infinity and all of the, the all of the parallel universes and everything else, the multiverse and everything else that you'd have to get into to be able to do all of the Marvel stuff. So we're not doing that. We want to be mindful of what we're doing. And we are eventually, yes, for those of you who are regular listeners, gonna go back and do Outlander season 8. We just needed a break.
Yes.
But ironically, and we will discuss it, Outlander comes up in this movie.
Because they say the word Outlander multiple times. But
Made me happy.
I would like to
There's a Sassenach in here.
try to discuss this movie, Phantom Menace, in Outlander terms. If the original trilogy, and this is not a one-to-one comparison, let me just say, but if the original trilogy is like season one and two, which we overall enjoyed, obviously we prefer the Star Wars movies to Outlander, but that's neither here nor there. If those are like seasons one and two, Phantom Menace in particular is season six, where it's not insulting yet.
It's
It's
thinking about being insulting.
But what you the worst thing you
It
could
is being
be
insulting.
the worst thing you could be to me is boring. And Phantom Menace, although some of the sequel trilogy gets close to being insultingly annoying, like rule breaking everything, and it annoys me, I still found that entertaining enough to not hate it as much as I hate Phantom Menace.
I think it's an action issue, but
I
we will
don't think
talk
it's
about
that. I think it's the writing.
well, the writing. We're gonna talk about the writing. But the sequels have a lot of visual stuff and action, and I think that compensates for a lot of what isn't going on in the story.
I don't, I personally, I don't think that's my hang up. My hang
Probably.
up is writing on both ends. However, the thing is, the sequels, they have compelling characters that are, well, compelling enough characters. Like, they start with a pretty good idea for characters, but then they kind of squander their potential later on.
Like this.
And like
Unlike the
this, that
Phantom
had
Menace.
like great opportunities to have characters, but just gave them absolutely no depth.
And nothing to work with. So let's talk about this, the pros and the cons. And
Let's discuss the synopsis of the plot first, because that's
yeah,
going to
that
take a second. So,
I get to interrupt this part,
you've
right?
been interrupting this whole time, so it doesn't really
Fuck
matter.
you.
So, I'm not going to be as succinct as I was during the Austinathon when it comes to synopsizing these, because they're like 2+ hour movies. So, a lot does happen if you really think about it, but it doesn't feel like it. So, in this movie, we are focusing on an attack on the planet of Naboo, which is ruled by elected Queen Padme Amidala. And
Yeah,
she
the structure of this government is quite vague.
is very weird. And she's like 12.
Yeah, and we find out later she was 14 when she got elected.
I think so.
But the bottom line is that what is happening is It's not an attack initially. It is an embargo. It
It's
is
a
a
threat.
trade embargo. They have
You know how
set
those
up.
kids love those trade embargoes.
Yeah, so there's all of this blockade of Naboo being caused by these kind of weird looking guys in masks. No, I mean they're meant to be alien life forms.
Essentially, what the premise is, if you have watched the original trilogy, you know who Emperor Palpatine is. So it is essentially his first attempt at a takeover of the Senate. The Senate is the governing body that
Of the
is,
universe, or this part of the
I
universe,
guess,
the
yeah,
galaxy, I guess.
I guess it's meant to be the galaxy, and there are a lot of senators in there. However, I feel like it can only be a section.
Well, I mean, if you got a bunch of solar systems in the galaxy and you have a bunch of planets, that might cover that. I mean,
I
it
don't know, Mom.
a
I
lot of
don't know.
people in the
But
Senate.
he's not ruling the Senate currently. And there's really not a. It's so clear who the bad guy is here, so we're not even going to thinly veil it for you.
But
They
we do
don't.
have secret. That's why.
We're all over the place. So
Oh, sorry.
essentially, what Emperor Palpatine, who's not Emperor yet, Palpatine is having these guys do a trade embargo on Amidala's planet so that he can strong arm the Senate into giving him control because the Senate won't do anything without direct action
Well,
on
right, but
Naboo.
here's the thing. So Queen Amidala is not part of the Senate. Palpatine is the senator for Naboo. So he is backstabbing himself. He is
Yes.
going behind, he is playing all the angles.
And that's not really important. I'm trying to
Well,
synopsize here.
it isn't, except that is basically what we find out during the course of this movie is the big structure. This is the macro.
Funnily enough, Senator Palpatine sends two Jedi, a Jedi Master and his Padawan. Qui-Gon Jinn is the Master, and Obi-Wan Kenobi is the Padawan. And we obviously know Obi-Wan Kenobi from the original trilogy. We will discuss him more in more depth later. So they are being sent to deal with the trade dispute, but obviously it becomes clear to them that they're under attack and there will be no settlement. And so they prevent the queen from getting captured and forced into signing a treaty. And they are like, all right, well, we need to come up with something. And so they get stranded in a nearby planet
Which
called
is Tatooine,
Tatooine
right?
because of reasons.
There's a lot, and there's a lot of stuff in here.
It's
But
not important. This is why I'm synopsizing.
right. The only major plot thing that you're leaving out is when these Jedi are thwarted in their negotiations. Like they never even get started. They end up having to flee to the underwater portion of
I'm completely
Naboo,
ignoring Jar
which
Jar.
is called the Gungans,
I'm
and
completely ignoring them, Mom, for a reason.
I understand, but we do because it's going to be a bad part for me. We need to acknowledge that this exists.
And
So
they don't have a good relationship with the people of Naboo because they feel ostracized. Anyway, they also bring a Gungan along with them named Jar Jar, and I don't want to talk about him. So
other than as a bad
they
part.
end up stranded on Tatooine because of fuel reasons, perhaps.
Engine problems.
And much like the Jedi Master has a Padawan, so too does a Sith Lord have a Padawan as well. There are always going to be two Sith, not one, two Sith.
But
And
only two. They're not supposed to be piles of.
yes, exactly. That's the whole point, which is kind of a bizarre tactic, but you know what?
And
Whatever.
something that gets contradicted later in the series, but we'll talk about that
We'll discuss
later.
later. So he is Emperor Palpatine. I'm just going to keep calling him Emperor Palpatine because I
We
have
all
to.
know.
He also has a Padawan named Darth Maul,
Yes.
and he's really cool looking.
He's okay,
He
yeah.
doesn't do much other than fight, but he is cool looking, and we like that.
And he has a very, very cool lightsaber that is dual-ended. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's red. He has horns on his
He
head. He
looks
is,
like a devil.
he does, and he is so great. I
No,
mean,
it's a
I
great character design, and I do love that.
absolutely.
But again, he doesn't really do much in the character department.
He does
So
have one line, which I had
he
completely
has like two
forgotten.
lines.
Oh, whatever.
Either way, he is essentially sent by
Emperor.
the Emperor because the Emperor's plan was kind of foiled by the Jedi surviving that whole trade settlement thing. So he kind of wants Darth Maul to keep an eye on them. So they are on Naboo and they run into these slaves because there are slaves on Naboo, which is not Naboo, sorry, Tatooine. And there are unfortunately some slaves there, one named Anakin, who is 10, 12. I don't
Hey,
know how
he
old he
looks
is.
like he's
He looks
eight.
like a baby.
He
He looks,
looks like a
though,
baby. He's like a small 10 if he's 10.
and his mother, who worked for this mechanic,
Yeah, his mother Chmi.
and they're trying to,
I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to get through the synopsis. So they're trying to get repairs done. And so he, so the two peop the two three people who go to get these repairs done are Qui-Gon Jinn. I don't know why Obi-Wan's not with them. He just
He's
is
doing
left
the
with the car.
he's the engineering guy, so he's like, I guess, tinkering.
I guess Jar Jar for comedic relief, and Padme. Padme. We don't know at this point that Padme is the queen. She is in disguise as one of the handmaidens. She has a decoy, Keira Knightley, who is
Is
acting on her
underutilized.
behalf.
Yeah, underutilized.
We all know this. Either way, so they all go, they meet Anakin, and they're like, oh, you're a cute little boy. Oh, it's a slight sh shame you're a slave. Let's try to figure out how we're going to get this part because we don't have any money. We're going to bet on this pod racing thing, and Anakin wins them the pod racing thing, and he Qui-Gon wins his freedom, but not his mother's. He also has the most midichlorians ever, and
Which
he's
is
curious
apparently,
about that.
right, so this is the only movie in the Star Wars franchise that talks about midichlorians. Midichlorians are supposed to be a measure of how much of the Force, for those of you unfamiliar with Star Wars, the Force is a major thing. It's like how much magic you have, or how strong your magic hat is, or how much spirit or whatever that you have. Midichlorians have never in the original series, never in the sequels, never been an issue. Like it was something measurable. The Force is the thing that ties everyone together that Jedi are able to control with their abilities.
Yeah, I always had the impression that everyone had the Force, but only few knew how to hone it. And I thought that was the point.
Yeah, I do too.
I always thought of the Jedis as like monks who are just
Yeah,
very spiritual and like
correct.
know their shit. But
Yes, but they decide to make it different in this
there's really no
fucking movie.
use in getting upset over it. It's only going to get worse from here.
Is.
So they go and they leave the mom behind. There's a brief encounter with Darth Maul. It's not important. So they go to the Senate, which is on Coruscant, which is basically New York, but for or Washington, D.C., but in the universe, and it's a whole planet. It's just one big city. And the Senate won't listen, and Palpatine
Gets
strong
power.
arms Padme into a vote of no confidence, which gives him the power of the emergency chancellor, whatever the fuck, ruler of space. And so, and but that's not enough for him. No. But he doesn't want to be by committee. But we'll
No.
discuss that later.
But he also orders the invasion of Naboo, which leads them all
No,
to.
but he doesn't order that in the Senate. He orders that on the side with the other people that he has, the separatists.
Little murder on the side. It's okay. It's a little invasion on the
Yeah,
side.
so he really has it out for Amidala, but we'll talk about next movie, I guess. But he orders the invasion of Naboo now that he has all the power, and he can be like, oh no, the people who I've like
Been
manipulated are
screwing.
dead.
Yeah.
Oh no. So they are going to be invading, and Padme is like, fuck, I'm gonna go home. I need to defend my people. Like she'd be able to do anything, but okay. And
She makes a pact with the Gungans and they all try to fight back. There's a major
Also,
sequence. I'm sorry, yes.
meanwhile, Anakin is being told by the Jedi Council that even though he has the most midichlorians ever, he is too old to start his training because apparently you have to start in utero or whatever, even though he
Which is
basically is
insane.
in your utero. He is a baby. So but he has already developed feelings, and that's frowned upon. You can't have feelings in the Force.
Which is part of the
And
reason we're thinking of them as monks,
yeah,
but you know.
because it is implied in the original trilogy that connections to other people and
Including
feelings can
love.
cloud your judgment, and that happens, and that makes sense.
Which, again, this whole celibacy, everything that is part of being a Jedi is what part of the reason that it looks like a religion and they talk about it like a religion.
So either way, they go and protect Naboo. There's a big fight with Darth Maul, and Qui-Gon gets killed, and Obi-Wan kills Darth Maul,
Cuts him in
and
half. I love the way you're like symbolizing it. He cuts Darth Maul in half. This is important.
yeah, for a movie that we might not even cover, but so then Naboo is saved, and the Gungans and the people of Naboo are friends again, and la-di-da, everything's fine. Don't worry about the rising power and like the people who tried to overthrow you and your
Yeah,
government.
in this fight, Anakin does blow up one of the controlling ships for
He has
all
a body
of
count.
the droids that are mounting this attack on behalf of Palpatine. And so he blows that ship up. So he's very popular. And also he is allowed to be trained by Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
That's it. So that's the
Plot
movie.
wise.
Plot wise, that's the movie.
So let's talk about, do you want to talk about your pros first, or should I talk about my pros first?
I mean, I'll do my pros.
Okay.
The
It's a
cast,
shorter list, by the way.
I'm aware. That's why I'm going first. So the cast, I think that there are great people in this cast. Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan is a great choice. Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon is also a good choice. I like Natalie Portman. I think she's a great actress. She plays Padme. And I generally the casting for these movies are really good. I think what well, I'll talk about that in my worst parts. But these are great actors. And we know these are great actors based on everything else we've seen them in, including this. So if they are able to make this dialogue anywhere near, first of all, comprehensible, second of all, anywhere near emotional-ish, I give them flowers. Music. John Williams did not have to clock in as hard as he did. He had rent due and he was going to pay it, and he was going to pay for next month's as
I could go
well.
on and on about John Williams. I will in a minute.
Great. Costumes. I think Padme's costumes are great for the most part. Some of them are weird, but I do like how out there they are. We get to see something a little bit different because in the original trilogy, I don't know if they had the budget or like anything like that to really get like go crazy with like those kinds of costumes, especially.
I have a mention about that. So Carrie Fisher, in one of the interviews that she did about the original trilogy, talked about how she wasn't allowed to wear a bra because in space there's no gravity, so you didn't need something to hold up your boobs. And she's like, "And I'm running around, and it's like all over the place."
Jesus Christ.
And she's like yelling at George Lucas. I'm like, "That is fucking
That's
classic."
really fucking stupid
It
that
is
he didn't let her
hilarious.
wear
I'm
a bra.
sorry. How much do I love Carrie Fisher?
She was
Love
great.
her.
R.I.P. So what I'm saying was we didn't really get a very opulent female main character. Even though we had a princess in the original trilogy, she was more of a warrior than anything else, and so she wore stuff that was more suited for that, which totally fine. But we get to see through Padme, we get to see a lot of really awesome stuff, especially like
Yeah,
in
really
the next
elaborate.
movie.
It's
It's really
beautiful.
great.
Beautiful.
But especially like when she gets to wear all of her very cool gowns and stuff. I prefer her like wardrobe in the next I keep saying
Movie.
episode, movie, because it's episode two in the next movie, but I do like it.
Natalie, my daughter, is all Attack of the Clones, by the way, for a
Okay.
very long time. It was all Attack of the Clones.
I'll try to explain that next time.
Yeah.
I still don't really understand why.
But we'll talk about it at the proper time, which is not now. I just want to acknowledge that, yes, her costumes are great in the next movie, but they're really great in this too. I think one of the things that they're just very, very stiff.
Yeah.
And it's intentional, but
Because
I
we get
think
to
they
be
were
free
hard,
flowing in the next one.
right? But they are designed to be intimidating and formal and all of those
I
things.
think my favorite that she wears is her final one at the parade, the white
Oh,
one.
this one, yeah, in this movie, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, in this movie, that was my favorite of hers that we
Yeah.
get to see. There are better ones in the next movie. Next, Darth Maul. I like his vibe. I think he's cool. I honestly,
He's scary.
when he did talk, I feel like I was like, oh, well, I kind of wish he didn't. Not because the actor's bad or anything. I'm just saying, like,
Ray Parks.
yeah,
He's
and
amazing.
no, he's
He's
great.
amazing from a fighting standpoint. He does incredible work.
Yeah, and again, it's not that he didn't do well on those lines, but I'm just kind of like, I feel like for that character, we didn't really need him to be anything more than just like a really cool, like the muscle kind of thing. And not just, again, I'm not saying he shouldn't have gotten lines, but I feel like the lines he did get didn't really leave a lasting impact. And I feel
Right.
like if you're going to have a one with very few lines, I think his should have been cooler.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that the thing about Darth Maul, and part of the reason when you are thinking of this movie, you think about him being as cool and intimidating as he is you're thinking he didn't have any lines. Why? Because the only lines he had were completely forgettable. And he is all about physical presence. So, yeah, I agree.
Final battle with Darth Maul in particular. Not the final battle in general. There's many things that I completely ignore in that final battle. But the one with Darth Maul is great.
The music is unbelievable
Duel
for
of the
that.
Fates,
Duel of the
yeah.
Fates, it's so good.
Amazing. And pod racing, I guess, just because it reminded me of that episode of Old Speed Racer. And that's it.
Yeah, so and I will probably mention pod racing, I guess, somewhere in there. But the things I listed, the John Williams music, I am a huge fan of John Williams' work for movies, particularly. The man's a genius. He has themes and he brings them together in amazing ways. And this Star Wars universe allowed him to really play with that and work with it. And there's actually a documentary about him on Disney Plus that is, I think, fantastic. If you're interested in music and scoring for movies, it shows someone who is a master of his craft. I think the music for this is way better than the movie deserves.
Yeah.
It does make the movie more watchable, honestly, and it builds tension and things that and emotions that really isn't there on the screen. It is all coming from music, so I'm very impressed by it. Liam Neeson, again, it's a casting thing. Liam Neeson and Ewan McGregor, I like them. I also like them together. I think
Yeah.
that they are very funny. Ewan McGregor is fantastic at being the buddy guy.
Yeah.
And you see that over and over with him in various roles, but in this role particularly, I think he does an amazing job with
He's
it.
underutilized, and I'll talk
He
about that
is.
in my worst parts.
Roger from the Droids is one of those things that is just very funny the way they speak Roger, Roger. The droid balls with shields. I mean, there are things about these battles that are visually stunning. And I do appreciate that I think was George Lucas trying to make his vision come to life. The problem is that he ignored a whole bunch of things that are much more important when you're making a movie. And in trading it off for these visuals. Natalie Portman, I think she's a great actress. I don't think this is her best role by any stretch.
No.
But she does things in this movie particularly is not the best in this role even. I just it's not great. But I put a question mark by her. Darth Maul, I think, is a great villain. Again, it's a one-off really. So from a series perspective, Darth Maul is a one-off, but very terrifying. This whole concept of a Sith having a minion, which we really hadn't seen that much before.
Can I just say the fact that we only have one-off Padawans of the
Sith.
Sith, is really a missed opportunity as well, because Darth Maul leaves a lasting impact by killing Qui-Gon. Why isn't he like Obi-Wan's Moby Dick kind of thing? Like,
Nemesis, yeah,
hey, I'm working my way up to you, babe, to
that's
burn in the no, sorry.
funny.
But
Next couple of movies, though,
not really, because then
we're gonna
we meet like a
talk about
completely
it.
new guy next movie,
Yeah,
and then a
there's like a
completely new guy after that, and then Obi-Wan ends up fighting every single one of them, and I'm just like,
and
why
beating
isn't
them
it the same person?
up to a certain point.
Yes, but like, what? I just feel like Darth Maul had such cool potential
He
that
did.
he could have just, like, these other guys could have still
Well, maybe they couldn't
existed.
get repurposed for something else. I don't know.
These other guys could have existed in a different capacity, but like, I feel like Darth Maul still should have been like his thing.
The costumes, I think, are amazing. I think, not across the board, but the more formal costumes definitely look really, really good. The visuals are interesting, even like the underwater world and that kind of stuff. It
Yeah,
looks really cool.
it does.
It was completely unnecessary to the plot, but
Yeah.
it looks really cool. The fact that R2-D2 and C-3PO are here, I love that duo from the original trilogy. The fact that they're present is great. Because again, it's callback for those of us who are old. But there is the fact that later there's no memory of any of this is just
That's
insane
dumb.
to me. And we will talk about it. Samuel L. Jackson.
I forgot about him.
Oh my. Samuel L. Jackson being in part of the Jedi Council, fucking great. We'll get better. This is one of the best parts of the prequels, in my
He's
opinion.
underutilized for sure.
Absolutely. And again, the music for everything is amazing. What were your cons?
Oh boy. I put really general ones because I'm gonna be honest with you, like, I zone out of this movie so easily because I just disassociate. Like, things will be going on for like Jar Jar bits will go on for so long, and even if something is like engaging to me as a plot point, we go straight back to a Jar Jar bit that completely makes me disassociate.
Jar Jar is basically a giant, a human that is like one of those inflatable bodies
Don't
outside
insult those things
of a outside
because
of a car dealership.
I way prefer them to what Jar Jar is.
He's got like his ears going all over the place and gills and craziness.
Either way, what I put in all caps, boring. I'm just so bored by this movie, and I think the reason why
You
I
don't
feel
care
like
about the characters.
what?
Never mind. I will have that in my worst place.
Great. What I was going to say was, I feel like they had really interesting prequel potential from this trilogy. You can use this time to really build up Anakin as a character who is the main focus, spoiler alert, of this whole trilogy and of quite a bit of the next trilogy. So, even if we don't know it yet. And so his development as a character should be paramount to every single one of these movies, and I don't see it in this movie at all. We just get introduced to this kid who's good at everything, and then is just like, all right, well, you're one of us now. It's like that could have happened halfway through the movie, and we could have seen way more development from him as a character, as a Padawan learner coming along for the ride. Like, that would have been fine with me. I feel like we didn't get any emotional development. Like, he fully abandons his mom. That's barely touched on for the rest of the movie. He just,
It's poor. I think
like,
there's poor direction involved, but we're going to talk
well,
about
there's
it.
certainly that, and we'll talk about that as well. But I think the boring, but like, the focus of this movie is not really Anakin, it's trade disputes. And
And
I
it's Palpatine. I mean, this
yeah.
is really a lot more about Palpatine than it is about anything else.
Which is bizarre because we already know Palpatine.
It's
So
true.
we need to get to know Anakin because he's the one who we don't really know what he was like before all the shit that happens. And so I don't know. So the writing again, you can I think the thing is they needed an editor or a better editor. I think that the general ideas are there for the lines for the most part, but just because you say it in a weird way does not make it sound better.
For whom?
Because if you look back at the original trilogy, yes, they have some weird dialogue here and there, but like they do sound like people. And maybe it's the way it's delivered, but I think it's also the way it's written. And I don't think it's all the actors and actresses' faults for that. And I think it's, again, a direction problem. And I've seen a couple of clips of Mark Hamill talk about, oh yeah, I made sure that we cut this fucking line from Star Wars because it was just fucking stupid and I didn't want to fucking say it. And I'm just like,
Oh,
fair
you
enough,
know,
man.
Harrison Ford did whatever the fuck he felt like.
Well, no, Harrison Ford, he was talking to Mark Hamill about it, and Harrison Ford was like, yeah, I want to tie up George Lucas and make him read his own lines because it's so stupid. And you know what? Fair. I can only agree. Some wooden acting. I think it's a direction problem. I don't think it's only like, especially the kid. I think the kid is fine. For child acting, we have now a higher standard
Much.
because we see how kids, like for example, Stranger Things, which we will
Yeah.
eventually cover. Not yet, but we will eventually. But I think now we have such a high standard for that that watching this back, it's like, oh. And not
Yeah,
that the
oh.
kid's bad, he's just young. And so I think that a good director can get good performances out
Think
of
of Harry
people.
Potter. They've got really young kids, and some of
Chris
them.
Columbus and like Macaulay Culkin for Home Alone, or
Yeah.
like you have a lot of good directors who can work with young actors really
Yeah.
well. And again, maybe it's just the young actor, but I also think it's the director. So I think that and also along with the dialogue and direction, and I'll discuss direction way more in the next movie, but I genuinely think that the direction really was lacking in that department. Because again, it's not that things don't look pretty. That's not the direction part I have an issue with. I have an issue with how they're blocked and how they are told to say stuff.
Yeah.
Not using characters to their full potential with Obi-Wan. I think that Obi-Wan should have spent way more time with Qui-Gon Jinn, and that would have made the ending with Qui-Gon dying way more impactful for everybody. And I think that separating them from each other during the Tatooine section really didn't allow Obi-Wan to get to know Anakin in any capacity. It didn't allow for further exploration of his like dynamic with Qui-Gon or anything. They try to make it seem like, oh, well, Obi-Wan's a bit hot-headed. And it's just like, he's not, though. I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing through any of the actions that he is doing that he is a bit hot-headed. Like, that's mentioned to the, like, he's ready for the trials of being a Jedi, which we never find out about. I want to know about that. But I feel like that's a wasted opportunity. Bullshit trade routes, bullshit. It's boring. Like I understand what they are talking about now that I am an adult and have taken an econ class about trade, like international trade. And I mean, like I knew about it a little bit sooner than that, but like for kids watching this, or even most adults watching this, they don't want to watch a movie that is like an action movie about trade disputes. Like that's so boring. And when you are centering the conflict around that instead of it just being like, I don't know, a war, like it obviously the war needs to spark somewhere and that can still be where it sparks, but don't spend so much time on this trade dispute bullshit. Just the Naboo has been like attacked twice, Amidala almost being captured twice, and I'm just like, okay, well, you could have consolidated a bit. I think you could have just talked about the fact that the trade disputes led to a conflict that the Senate isn't seeing or hearing about or being told the truth about. That could be just fine, but I don't know. I feel like that's.
Well, as long as this film is in development, you know, it's like 10 years or whatever, you had some time to work out the kinks. I just want to throw in, no, I'm sorry. Are you done?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What were you throwing in?
So I Googled because one of the acting things there, for those of you who've never seen these movies, Natalie Portman is supposed to be the love interest for Anakin. Natalie Portman in this movie was 16 years old. Jake Lloyd was cast when he was 8. So I think that has a lot to do with how they're interacting. Like, he's a little boy.
He is a little boy.
It's bad to try and make that into like
I'm not
a
sure how
thing.
old Anakin was supposed to be, though.
Well, they said he was 9 during filming.
Okay, yeah, but who's how much how that
I
doesn't
don't know. I
mean
don't
how
know.
much how old Anakin was
I
supposed to
don't
be.
know, but if they're trying to make it out like he's a
I
really
think
precocious 8-year-old that's coming on to a 16-year-old, it's like no. Or 14-year-old.
Padme's supposed to be like 14, something
Maybe.
like that.
Maybe.
And then I think he's supposed to be like 10.
Yeah, but
That's what I'm
there's
assuming.
an enormous maturity difference between a 14-year-old girl and a 10-year-old
Dude,
boy.
I am not arguing that. I
Huge.
am not arguing
Huge. And
that.
I'm sure that George Lucas doesn't understand that, having never been a 14-year-old girl. But he's
But there's an eternity age gap between 16-year-old boys and 14-year-old girls too.
yes.
So like and that's coming from a girl's perspective, there's a maturity gap. So
Yeah.
I think generally I think that he should have just made them the same age, but I mean that he wanted her to be a queen for some reason. There is literally not one single reason why she couldn't just be a handmaiden. There's not a reason why she has to be queen. I think it would have honestly made more sense if she wasn't elected queen. I think it would have made more sense if she was just a handmaiden.
Yeah, and then later gets elected queen because she does get elected queen, and then she gets elected senator.
Yeah,
Spoiler.
bizarre. So,
It
well,
makes no
that's another thing
sense.
that doesn't make any sense. Either
It's
way, obvious bad guy Palpatine. Like, I mean, I kind of like to a certain degree that they're not insulting our intelligence, but at the same time, it's like, oh, yeah,
They're
well,
also
that there
making
is
it
that.
so obvious. Like right at the end, they're like, oh, where there's a Sith like Darth Maul. There's a master, then when there's a Padawan, there's a master, and then they cut right to Palpatine's like,
Yeah, hit like the
who am
foreground.
I? Yes.
It's so funny. So then useless.
With the music, by the way, with all the John Williams Palpatine type music. Yeah.
Yeah. Useless clones. They in lieu of having stormtroopers who can't aim, they
They
have
have
droids who
droids.
can't aim, which I can forgive more. And you know what? It's kind of a commentary on society that robots can't do everything right. So
AI will not rule the world. We
let's
know.
hope not. Then Jar Jar. I'm not even going to harp on Jar Jar. I don't like him. Ewan McGregor's rat tail. I don't like that. Slavery. Don't like that. And Immaculate Conception. So, so Anakin is Jesused into the world by Immaculate Midichlorian Conception, which is bizarre to me because his mom says it in such a blasé way. She's just like, "Yeah, there was no father. I just happened to become pregnant." It's like, what?
See, this is the other thing is Anakin's mom is super stiff. Like, we're
Yeah.
supposed to think that like this is some big emotional connection for Anakin, and she's not even like, oh, well, you need to go. Fine,
I
bye.
agree with that, but at this, I also will give her a little bit of grace having to work with the baby child. Just a little bit of grace, but I do agree she is a bit stiff.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, anything else?
No, that's what I
Oh,
wrote
wow,
down.
that's really good. My first thing is the writing. Oh my Lord, the writing of this movie. It is just terrible. It's terrible. I can't even quote any of the dialogue because
I don't want to.
it's that bad. I mean, there's bad dialogue in the next movie, but we quote it all the time.
Oh, yeah, it's
This
hilariously
because
dumb.
it's hilariously bad. This isn't even funny bad. I mean, Jar Jar, like, you have a plot point, and Jar Jar is running around in the back of the scene looking like a Looney Tune character. And it's kind of like, this is just, it's meant to be funny. It's meant to be the comic relief. It's not. It's embarrassing, and it is unnecessary. It is completely extraneous. I mean, I would rather have no comic relief than this. It's just awful. So everything involving Jar Jar, terrible. That's lower down on the things I wrote down, but it is terrible. The trade routes, what is this crawl? So at the beginning of every Star Wars movie, there is a crawl. There's a
Opening crawl.
opening credits thing or an opening crawl where it describes what's going on right now. Like, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, this is happening. This is really long, really boring, and talks about trade wars. Don't care. Like, I also felt like The idea that you can't recognize Palpatine as the Emperor because he has a hood on and you can see half of his face is like a Superman thing. Like, oh, he has glasses on, it must not be Superman. It's like, you're fucking kidding me. This is embarrassing. The quality of the sets, so like the spaceship sets, particularly the early ones, look a lot like 1960s Star Trek. Like they're very, like styrofoam-y looking. They just are not, they're not as detailed as, say, these digitally created universes under the water and stuff like that. And it's interesting to me that they didn't bother. Everything else is so lush, and then you have this that's got zero. Jar Jar Binks, his voice, his speech, the things he says sounds exactly like Bibble from Barbie movies. It is terrible. I can't handle it. There's bad green screen in this, which again, for someone who prides himself on being a technical genius, which George Lucas has proved himself to be, the fact that there's bad green screen in this movie,
Especially in the underwater
yeah,
sequence.
it's kind of like, well, it comes up in several points,
I was
the
noticing the
pod
underwater.
race, that kind of thing. There are parts where you're like, that is just so obviously green screen, that's embarrassing. Even the acting, like at the end of the pod race, where like the people are especially jumping up and down and cheering for Anakin winning, they look like they've been standing out in the hot sun for, I don't know, 12 hours, and you're just like, oh, it's jump, no time. Okay,
I
yay.
think that's just for them, you know?
It's for them, but it's really sad. Poor child acting. And that, again, it's not just from this kid, Anakin. It is also from the kids surrounding him, like
Oh,
that are
yeah.
helping him build this pod racer. And it's just bad. There are Outlanders on Naboo. There are Saracc on Naboo. It's pretty funny that they keep referring to them as Outlanders. Very funny. Slavery, terrible, terrible direction. Just terrible direction for most of these characters. They are just meant, I guess, meant to be as stiff as they are. But the only people that are supposed to be learning to control their emotions are the Jedi. And Qui-Gon Jinn controls his emotions. Liam Neeson does that anyway, for the most part. He has a very dry, kind of sometimes menacing delivery, even in roles where he's incredible. So, it's not surprising coming from him, but you don't really want every character to be like that. It's just I don't know. They're trying, and they tried to tone down Ewan McGregor, I guess, although he's probably the most interesting character that's being developed here. The Immaculate Conception thing, the making this into a religious thing, bizarre. The pod racing, I actually find it quite boring. I find it boring even back in the day. And at that point in time, we were expecting to have a young boy in the house at some point. And you kind of think about Mario Kart and video gaming and all of the things. I felt like the reason this was included in this movie was to attract a young boy audience, right?
And then they talk about trade disputes, you
Yeah,
know?
yeah. And it's just so dry, even with that. I mean, it's kind of done okay, but again, the acting is just poor. Why do all the creatures look like Earth creatures? Like everything, like the camels look like they're animals that look like camels, animals that look like elephants. They are very familiar mammal types.
Okay, I
There
didn't know
are
you had that much of an issue with
are
it.
the worst disguises since Superman, and I would include in that the decoy, Keira Knightley as supposedly being the decoy for Amidala. It's very obvious that they aren't the same person to me, even with the elaborate costumes. And like they get an absolute zero if there could be negative marks for foreshadowing, because it's all just hitting you over the head. And I think maybe this was designed for 8-year-old boys. The 8-year-old boys are actually smarter than that, so I don't know what to say about this. I just felt like it was poor. So we are Star Wars people. We like Star Wars. We
We
enjoy
do.
Star Wars. You could not tell. by our
Yeah.
coverage of episode one, The Phantom Menace. But we will be getting more into it because, like I said, Natalie, very much an Attack of the Clones girl.
Well, okay, listen. That makes me sound dumb because it really isn't a good movie. But I
Watched it in a while. It might not be
no,
bad.
it's still not good.
It
But
has hilarious dialogue.
yes, but I think okay. Again, much like this Phantom Menace is season six of Outlander, I would call Attack of the Clones like season seven, part two of Outlander, and Revenge of the Sith
Someone's
is
got an eye
like
patch.
season seven, part one.
Somebody in this will have an eye patch.
Will they?
I don't know.
No.
We have to watch and see. We're gonna watch and see.
There's always going to be a section of, well, at least going forward, and we'll talk about that in the next installment. However, there's always going to be a section of the movie and the prequels where I'm just so fucking bored. But, you know,
That maybe that we've seen them so much. Like we have seen
no.
the Harry Potter movies so much that we tune out to some
Well,
too.
yes, but no, but not consistently. You know what I mean? Like it built over time. I've always tuned out certain parts of these prequels, and it's usually, unfortunately, the Obi-Wan sequences. I love Ewan McGregor, but his subplots are
Okay, and the third movie, really, really good. There's some really good.
is
Yes.
his part of like riding a lizard and fighting General Grievous that great?
I think
Okay. All right. We
it's
have very different
really good.
opinions on
Hey,
that.
this is why we cover these movies. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun. I think we're going to have better drinks. I think it's going to be well worth your time. So please, we hope that you join us. And cheers.
Cheers.